Thanks so much for listening. Before I get into the episode, I wanted to thank today's podcast sponsor, which is Coda Luna and their baby keepsake castle. I personally just put all of my baby's memorabilia into these little keepsake castle boxes, and they are so adorable, functional, and if you really love organization, then you're really going to love this keepsake box. So not only is it a keepsake box, but it also includes a baby book, and it has space for capturing all of the milestones of your baby's early years. And then the keepsake box itself stores all of the memorabilia that you want to keep. So baby's first socks and pacifier and the little hat that they wore when they came home from the hospital. So this keepsake castle with the baby memory book is more than just an organizational product. It's a gateway to preserving the remarkable journey of new parenthood. So take a moment to visit keepsakecastle.com today and embark on creating a lasting legacy of love and nostalgia. Hello, thank you for listening to the Finding Your Village podcast. My name is Amanda Gorman and I'm your host. Today, I am going to be talking to Danielle Bettman, who is the host of the Failing Motherhood podcast, and she is a parent coach with Wholeheartedly. Now, before I get into the interview with Danielle, I have a quick announcement. I am in the process of getting certified to become a Birthing From Within childbirth mentor. So my goal is to learn more about childbirth education and how to support birthing people. I'm also hoping that going through this training will enrich the content of this podcast. And I'm also really looking forward to actually working with clients. I've never done that before, and educating expecting parents about childbirth and how to prepare for it. I'm going to keep you all posted with my journey in that certification process. And the reason why I selected the Birthing From Within program, by the way, is because, as I've mentioned in previous episodes, I took their Birthing Again class when I was pregnant with my second child, my son Cooper, and I found that class to be highly effective and valuable in preparing me for childbirth. So now I would like to learn how to help others with that exact same program. So I'm very excited about it, and I'll keep you posted. I'll also keep you posted on my Finding Your Village Instagram page, and I'm at Finding Your Village. So real quick, before we get into the interview, I have to make fun of myself a little bit. I have previously used Instagram for the last couple of years as a personal, you know, profile for my own, just, you know, sharing about me and connecting with friends. But I didn't really get it. I think I made my first story a month ago. And so now recently I have done some more research and I'm getting it. I watched some videos about how to use Instagram and what the point is. So please encourage my sweet little Luddite self and follow me at Finding Your Village and tell me what I'm doing wrong, because inevitably I'm going to make some awkward mistakes along the way. But hey, that's part of the process. So I would like to get into the interview with Danielle. Before I jump in, I want to tell you all a little bit about her. So she's the host of the Failing Motherhood podcast, which in the description, it says, if you're riddled with mom guilt, your temper scares you, you're terrified, you're screwing up your kids and afraid to admit any of those things out loud, this podcast is for you. So I really love her sense of humor and just her grace when it comes to accepting her, you know, mistakes and little bumps in the road when it comes to her motherhood journey. So I thoroughly enjoyed my conversation with Danielle, and I hope that you all will enjoy listening to our conversation. And today, Danielle is going to talk about creating a family business plan, which is a really cool idea, and I'm in the process of creating mine now after having talked to her, and I think that it's going to make a big difference in our family and just the overall vision for our family and how we attack parenting from now on, honestly. So I'm excited for you all to hear this conversation, and without further ado, here is my conversation with Danielle Bettman, parenting coach with Wholeheartedly and host of the Failing Motherhood podcast. All right. Well, hello, Danielle. Thank you so much for being here today.
I'm so excited. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Well, we are going to talk about a family business plan today.
Yes.
I'm really excited. To be totally honest to everyone out there, I have no idea what a family business plan is. And so I am going to be learning along with everyone else today. And I'm really excited to learn what a family business plan is and to learn why I need to create one after we're done with this meeting today.
Yeah.
And, but before we dive into that, I would love to just hear a little more about you. So how's your day going? How did you get started with your podcast? Just share with us a little bit more about you.
Sure. I'd love to. And I'm doing good, actually. It was a raining morning and my kids are in good mood. So, hey, I'm doing good.
That's great. And you're in Omaha, Nebraska, right?
Yes, I'm in Omaha. Yep. Okay. And I have two daughters that are 7 and 6. They are 15 months apart and I don't recommend that, but they are best friends now. It's paying off.
That's so sweet.
Awesome. My husband and I just celebrated our 11-year wedding anniversary. And we've been together, I think like 18 years now. That makes it. So that's insane. Yeah. We're high school sweethearts. Awesome. Still married. So that's exciting.
Yay.
And yeah, marriage is hard.
During the pandemic.
Yes. Yeah. I'm sure divorce lawyers are busy right now.
I hope not.
I know.
But awesome. Congrats on happy anniversary.
Thank you.
Great.
But yeah, so I own a business called Wholeheartedly and I do parent coaching. And the way I got into that was I originally got my teaching degree from birth through third grade, and I had worked for a school in a Head Start classroom, an early Head Start classroom. And after several years of that, I moved into home visiting through Save the Children. And I was working with a caseload of families, and I was in their homes for an hour every week, helping really connect the parents with resources and developmental screenings and books to read with their kids, and really just equipping them to fill in the gaps because they were already doing their very best. And all parents go into this thing with no manual or training whatsoever, and we really need all the help we can get. I mean, none of us feel like we know what we're doing. So after doing that for 3 or 4 years and becoming a parent myself, I ended up leading a large moms group. And I was already feeling swamped. Like, there's no preparing you for parenthood, but even with like a teaching degree and all of that background, I still had such a hard time understanding like what to be guilty about and what I should discipline and just like all of the world of parenting my daughters. And I had a midlife crisis in like 2019. I actually got fired, and I really knew that I didn't want to go back to a classroom. I wanted to work with families one-on-one again, but I didn't know what that was going to look like. So I just took the leap of starting my own company like you do. And turns out it's a whole thing, but I have loved it. It's been a lot of work, but I really, really just wanted to make it my own and give parents the tools and the training that I really feel like makes or breaks their experience and their connection with their child, and just help them feel like they know what they're doing a little bit more and help them get on the same page. So that's what Wholeheartedly does now. It was in-home and now it's virtual. And I started my podcast as well just in May of this past year in 2020. So it's called Failing Motherhood, and it's all about owning the fact that we all feel like we're failing. That is like inherent with motherhood, but we all feel like we're the only ones. And so I do interviews to basically debunk that fact and help moms not feel so alone in those really self-depreciating and feeling self-defeated moments. So we talk about the really hard stuff and all the ways that we feel like we are full of mom guilt and that we lose our temper and we don't play enough and we have too much anxiety and all the things. And we own it. So, and at the end of every episode, I just really drive home the fact that you are the mom that your kids need. And so that's the message of my podcast. And I'm just trying to help alleviate the added stress that, COVID is, you know, has on everybody. And parenting is hard enough. I feel like it's the hardest job in the world. And now we have like the weight of a global pandemic on our shoulders. So no big deal.
Right, right. Exactly. No big deal. Wow. What a great synopsis. Thank you so much.
That was really long-winded.
No, it wasn't. It really wasn't. I think that that was really great. And thanks for sharing that with us. And thanks for being vulnerable and brave to share, you know, just parts of your story that are rather personal. And I just, I really love what you're doing. And I also appreciate how brave you were to go out on your own after you had, you know, a time of transition and turmoil, because I went through kind of a similar situation of just like deciding that what had worked for me before was no longer going to serve me and I needed to change stuff up. So I get that. Yeah. And good for you too. So that's awesome. And so I definitely think that our mission and our, you know, our mission with both our podcast and your mission with Wholeheartedly is definitely aligned in just supporting parents. You know, mine is particularly parents with babies and toddlers or expecting parents. I really think that your message is aligned with what my goal is. And then also, your girls are a few years older than my kids. And so to me, you're an expert on that next stage of life that I'm about to be entering in my parenting journey. You know what I mean? And so I just love having that of those moms, those people that are just a couple steps ahead.
Yes.
That can kind of give you a heads up about what's coming. Share with you the wisdom that they have learned. And so I try to do the same thing by paying it forward for peers of mine that are coming up that are just now having babies or just now getting pregnant, or have, you know, entering those toddler years. So it's cool. So I just thought I would share that with you and listeners just to let you know, to reiterate my idea of this village that, that we all need to create. And I think, you know, really just helps us to be better humans and better parents.
For sure. Agreed.
So, okay, let's talk about the family business plan. What is a family business plan?
Yeah, so this is really just born from my own invention. It's not a real thing, but I'm making it one.
It is now.
It is now. So I was writing my business plan for Wholeheartedly when I was creating my company. And I was working through, you know, all the prompts and going through identifying, you know, both about 5-year plan and, you know, my branding and my values and things like that.
Yeah.
And I realized that that intentionality of creating that vision is so important for a business. Why would that not apply and have the same value for our families? Because if we took that home and we see our family unit as an organization and we are the leadership as parents, we are trying to accomplish goals and set a trajectory and a direction for our kids and for our family. And we have, you know, values that are unique than other families, and we have our own personalities and the own ways that we are going to spend our time and money. And we eventually want to get our kids on a path to success, whatever that looks like. But we usually don't even have time to identify that or have a conversation about what that looks like, because we're just making it up as we go and we're winging it 24/7. And so I started having conversations with my husband about identifying some of these things and writing kind of a family mission statement and having really solid goals and rules like that are kind of, you know, how our family functions that can guide our decision making and that can help us feel more confident and on the same page. When you have shared language, then it's a really, really good thing to have each other's back on. And I really kind of realized you could write out a similar plan for your family as I was doing for my business. So I made it a workshop, and it was way too much to do in a workshop with my friends. And so then I kind of just pieced it apart into conversational exercises that build on each other. And that's what I do when I work with my one-on-one clients. We're problem-solving parenting strategies specific to whatever they're struggling with. But at the same time, we're kind of creating this foundation that they'll be able to build from long-term. And so it really helps both co-parents get on the same page, because for the first time maybe ever, they're sharing with each other why it's so important that they instill this one value, or how they really see a certain breakdown of, you know, why I'm doing this way and why you're doing it this way. And, you know, one of the core pieces to get on the same page is realizing that both parents really want what's best for your kids. They're just seeing it from a different lens, and therefore they're taking different action steps to get there. And so that's kind of it is in a nutshell, but really it's kind of piecing together a plan of end goals and core values and a big kind of leadership piece, and how you spend your time and money, and how you're going to infuse you and your husband's personalities into your family. And kind of culminating that in a family mission statement, and then really piecing out how to implement that now, today, and create the trajectory to get there.
And how would a family go about creating their own?
So I offer two accessible ways to kind of work through all of the pieces that I've created. One way is through virtual parent coaching, where, you know, we meet and 90-minute sessions over Zoom, and I give you the PDFs to work through as homework, and then we have discussions about them. And, you know, you're able to kind of have a third party's insight into facilitating the conversation that you may not have been able to have otherwise, because parenting is just so constant in the moment that you really need to hit pause sometimes and get, you know, get a time in your calendar carved out to do that. But then I also have kind of compiled it into an online course to work through on demand. So there's videos of all the explanations and the teaching from me, and then the PDF homework paired with it as well. And there's 6 modules to work through on your own time through like that online course. And so that's 2 ways to do it. But really, if you wanted to just, you know, do it on your own, it's having a conversation with your spouse or co-parenting partner that identifies what success really means to both of you, and writing down qualitatively, like, who do we want our kids to be? What do we want to be true of them? What skills do we want them to have? You know, all of those things, just actually writing them down and identifying them and talking about the why. And then, you know, kind of realizing, what does that mean today, and what decisions are we making today that is going to either get us closer to that end goal or farther away from it?
And why is creating this family business plan or this vision for your family, why do you think that's so important and so impactful?
Well, if you look at and read, you know, all of the famous books on business leadership, they'll talk about this idea of vision casting for your employees and creating a healthy work culture, and the importance of being intentional and having clear communication and being on the same page as a work team so that you actually accomplish the things that you set out to do. And, you know, it's really important to have a mission and a set of values that you ascribe to that hold you accountable, because as humans, we tend to take the path of least resistance. And we like to just kind of put things on default mode. And so if you take all of that truth and apply it to your family, like, we are just going to keep doing the day after day after day on, you know, autopilot, or like letting the path of least resistance take over. And, you know, we can set out and have the best of innocent intentions, but we may not actually do the things that we will have said we wanted to do, you know, before having kids or before kind of getting into this. So, if we care about the end result about our kids, which we obviously do, then we should, you know, take some of those same truths and apply them with some, you know, intentional homework pieces that put together a plan of what we're in this for and what it's all really about. Because if we don't know where we're going with this, then how easy is it to second guess yourself or to become stuck in the decision making of whether or not you should move closer to family or whether or not they should do public school or private school or whether or not, you know, that you're going to teach them a second language. Like, there's a million good things in the world that we can provide as opportunities for our kids or that we can do or that we can be. But if we're trying to do them all, then we're not going to do any of them well. That's the truth.
Yes.
If we're just constantly like looking for the next shiny object and, you know, jumping on the next spontaneous train that comes by, then we won't actually create the people that are, you know, or keep the main things that matter to us. And, you know, every family's core values look different. And that's what's beautiful about it is, like, there is no one right way to create a human being. But the more that we actually identify what is important to us, then the more we actually do it and the more that we become it ourselves as parents, because that's really what this all boils down to is, you know, if persistence and flexibility and kindness and, you know, bravery, if those are like the core values that you say you really want to teach your kids, then you actually have to live them out yourself as a parent.
Dang it.
I know, right? That's what sucks. That's another reason why parenting is so hard, is because we get so convicted on that. But like that, and we're not going to get really good at those things if we don't identify it. We're just not. Yeah. So true. Yeah, that's all of the many reasons.
That's great. I love that. I think that is so true. The very first point that you made, I mean, was just, I was over here shaking my head about, you know, cultures, organizational cultures do this all the time. Big, successful companies and entities, the leadership at the top of all of those are intentional about their culture. They're intentional about their vision that is cast. And that is how they thrive and succeed. So why not take a note from that page in their book and apply the same principles to your family? I think that's genius. I love this concept that you've come up with. I think it's great. Yeah, absolutely. And then when you were talking about, you know, the why behind it and it just being all about being intentional of just, you know, not just kind of going along with whatever kind of comes your way or following the shiny object, but really figuring out what's important to you and kind of letting that be your North Star with whatever decisions you and your family encounter, whether they be big or small. And especially right now during a pandemic, when families are having to make decisions about school and work that they've never had to make before.
Yes.
I would think that, yeah, that like that North Star, having that vision spelled out for them, I feel like that would really just kind of help bring the temperature down when it comes to making these tough decisions that you've never had to make before, or having those conversations that are brand new.
Absolutely. Yeah. We need all the peace of mind we can get right now.
Yeah, exactly. So on that note about parenting being, you know, hard and this pandemic not making it any easier, and with all of your experience in the school system, your experience as a mother, your experience as a coach, as a parenting coach, what are your big suggestions for parents right now for me in this pandemic, knowing that, you know, there's not exactly light at the end of the tunnel right now. We're just kind of in this weird limbo. What would be your advice?
Yeah. Well, I base a lot of my parenting philosophies around meeting kids' needs and meeting our needs. And when we're able to do that, then we're able to thrive. And that all goes back to like Maslow's hierarchy of needs, where it's like those basic foundational physiological needs that we need met, and then safety, security, control, autonomy, love, and belonging are all kind of wrapped in there. with self-actualization at the top. But when it comes to what's why we're struggling so much right now and why all of this, you know, lack of socialization and all of our normalcy and all of, you know, the normal has been disrupted, it goes back to our feelings of control and security being diminished or triggered. And not only are ours, but our, it is for our kids as well. And so if you're looking for things that you can control that you can do at this time, is looking at how can you build back in aspects of your child's life that help them feel safe and secure and help them feel more in control. And usually that looks like some pretty go-to recommendations from me where, you know, if you have a preschool age child, get them a weekly calendar of just Monday through Friday or Sunday through Saturday and write on there anything that is on their calendar, and then just help with like a little marker that designates what today is. But helping them have a tool to go back to that helps them feel like they know what's coming next makes them feel more in control. And in the same way that we want to check our calendar and we want to know what's on our docket for today and what's expected of us and what the agenda is, our kids do as well. So anytime that we can front load that information of the expectations or the agenda of what they can expect is coming up next, whether that's in the next hour or the next week or the next month, definitely do as much of that as possible so that they feel like life is not just happening to them willy-nilly, but they have some level of understanding. Even if they're like two or three, that will make a difference for them because they understand today, yesterday, and tomorrow, and yeah, have not a whole lot of concept of time after that. But if you sure can, you know, help them say like, well, three more sleeps until yeah we have a movie night or whatever, like the, yeah, that's just another tool that they feel like, okay, I got this.
I love that. If I could just ask a follow-up question on that. I mean, yeah, that's the first time I've ever heard of that. I've heard of having a family calendar, but that's awesome. I think my daughter would love that. My follow-up question is, do you have any particular calendars that you recommend? Do you have like a place in the house that you recommend putting it?
That's a good question. I should get on like an Amazon affiliate for a dry erase calendar.
You should.
I recommend that to like every family I work with. I don't have a specific one, but I just like a, let's say 10 inches wide, 3 inches, you know, deep type of dry erase calendar that just has a little square for every day of the week. I use one like that, and I have it kind of between our kitchen and, you know, front door area of our house. And when my girls were really little, I printed out little like clip art and pictures from the computer of things that were normal, like, you know, school days. I just always had like a little picture of the front of the school or swim lessons or dance class or whatever. I just, you know, kind of printed the logo or something because it's also teaching them environmental print and literacy skills. But the main thing is just having them feel in control of it. So if they can't, you know, if you tell them go write this letter on this day, or, you know, count how many days until this, or just making it be as much theirs as possible. So maybe they choose, you know, the wall, or they help you hang it, or they personalize it by coloring on it, like whatever it is that helps them feel more in control, use that and maximize that opportunity.
Awesome. Thank you.
Yeah.
That's great. Yeah. Okay, keep going. Do you have anything else?
Yeah. So if we're talking about, again, the feelings of safety and security, and, you know, feeling in control and having autonomy, choices and letting our kids really, you know, pick your battles right now, for sure. Like anything that like ask yourself, what can I really not let them do? You know, like the least amount of no's as possible. Not that they should like we still absolutely, the boundaries are a huge thing that does actually give kids that subconscious level of safety and security. They have to know that there's guardrails up and someone will step in and have their back if they are, you know, way out of line. That really, really is foundational for them. But when it comes to what they're wearing or what they're eating for breakfast or how much screen time they're having and some of those things, it is totally okay if it does not look like quote unquote normal right now and things are a little bit like we have to cringe our own expectations, but this is just not normal times. And yeah. So if it helps us stay more sane and helps our kids feel like they have a little bit more normalcy by, you know, having maybe a more favorite guilty pleasure snack, you know, more often than usual, or watching their favorite show every single day when you usually wouldn't let them do that, helping them feel like they have more things that are their choice around, and having more of like their own spin on the day where they can have their voice and share their opinion and really feel like they have important decisions to make throughout the day, yeah. Whatever that, even if they're just three, the more things that you can say yes to and that you can just give them a choice of, sure, do you want to do it this way or that way? Then that's going to kind of pour into and fill their cup, so that when you do have to really say no, then it's, you know, going to be on something that really matters and really counts, and they'll, you know, understand at that point. But
sure.
That does make sense?
It does. And you're not being a broken record.
Yes. Yeah.
I was hearing no, 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 stop, stop, stop from you all the time. Yeah. Yes. That makes a lot of sense.
Because the main thing they really need from us right now is to feel like we are their safe place. We are like their person, and our relationship with them is going to be the key factor that helps all of us get through this time. Like there, you know, so much research on trauma and resilience in kids is 100% based on how much a child can depend on a safe, responsive, supportive grown-up during that time to help them get through that. And so if we are always making sure that that's the main thing, that we keep the main thing, then saying yes to something that, you know, is a micromanaged issue at this point is not, it's definitely a, you know, battle not worth picking when we're going to keep connected in our relationship with them, and everybody's just going to be a little bit, you know, better mood by the end of the day. And that's okay.
Sure.
And I'm preaching to myself on that one too, because I still have to like breathe out sometimes and be like, it's going to be okay. They're going to be okay.
Exactly. I say that to myself. I think that's good advice of just, you know what? They're safe. They are cared for. I am here. But yep, we're going to extend screen time by 20 minutes right now. And it's totally fine.
Totally fine.
All good.
Yep.
I love it. I just really have appreciated your wisdom today and just everything that you've shared. As we kind of wrap up, is there anything else that is on your mind or that you would like to share?
Of course, there's a million other things, but my soapbox is always going to be taking care of your own mental health as a parent.
Yes.
Because if you really do want what's best for your kids and you want to show up as the parent you want to be, the only way that you're going to do that is if your own cup is full and your needs are met. And, you know, if that means get a therapist, get a therapist. If that means don't feel guilty for going and driving around for a while, go do that. Mm-hmm. Like whatever you have to do, even if you're seeing your kids less because of it, it will directly benefit them. So don't ever feel guilty for taking a longer shower or bathroom break, or, you know, eating the chocolate you only bought for yourself or whatever it is. That it is not just good for you. It will also benefit your kids by how much more patient or calm or, you know, just genuinely able to be authentic with them than you would have been if you wouldn't have taken that time. So I will always kind of preach that. And if you need encouragement for that, definitely check out Failing Motherhood.
Yes.
And you know, you'll feel more at home with all of us owning how many things that we do feel like we're still failing at, but at the same time knowing that if you're really doing what really matters, then we can let the rest go and be able to sleep at night still. So
so true. Thank you so much for saying that and reiterated that. I needed to hear that today personally, so thank you. Please check out Failing Motherhood. I'm going to link to that in my show notes. And then if someone wants to get in touch with you, what would be the best way for someone to reach out?
Finding me on Instagram and sending me a DM, I'm at parent underscore wholeheartedly, or just through my website, parentingwholeheartedly.com. I do have a workbook PDF guide on managing big emotions that you can download right off the homepage that has a printable that you can use with your child and really just helps equip you with what do I actually do in the middle of a meltdown or tantrum that helps everybody get back to calm. So that's the first step I recommend. Download that and then we can chat from there.
Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate you just spending time with us today and sharing all of your wonderful knowledge. Please check out parentingwholeheartedly.com and get in touch with Danielle if you have any questions for her one-on-one.
Yes, I would love to answer them.
Awesome. All right. Well, thank you so much. Thank you so much for listening to the show today. I really appreciate it. And if you like what you heard today, please go on to Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to your podcasts and give me a rating. If you loved it, give a 5-star rating. Tell me what you like specifically in the review section and don't forget to subscribe. Also, if you have any other feedback for me, remember I'm on this newfangled app called Instagram, so you can find me on there as well. Thanks for listening today. Take care.